Well, good morning. Welcome to the church service this morning, and as we have gathered here, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Amen. We didn't have no dust on the way driving here, although it's raining quite a bit more here, this way here from Elder Shane this way than it was out that way, and if you want to keep it, you're welcome to. Last year, we wouldn't have said that, but this year, we are saying that. But we couldn't make it rain last year, and we can't stop it rain this year, and we don't want to either, because if it hadn't rained yet, there would be no seeding happening, just like some of places this year, too. Seeding hasn't happened yet because they can't get onto it. But we can be in church here, and we can be in a dry place. We can be here having faith in God that He is in control. He knows what He's doing, and He knows why He is doing it this way this year. And we also know through His word that He has said that it always will be winter, summer, spring, fall. That will continue till the end of the world. Today we have gathered here for in the English service. We will be having the last three articles of faith, and we are talking and thinking of faith, and that is what also brings us through life, that brings us through the spiritual life more so. It helps us in that, and that spiritual life controls our physical life. So let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, today we thank you again that we are able to gather here. We thank you again that we were able to drive safe here, and that we could be comfortable even though it was raining outside, we were still dry in the vehicle. Thank you that we have a congregation here, and thank you that we're allowed to gather, and thank you that we have a place where we can meet. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us this morning as we read the articles, and that we will be reminded of what we have said we believe in and what we still believe in. So God, I pray that you will be with us when we sing, when we pray, and when we listen to the message. And as I present the message, I pray for your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's share some singing together.
In the blue hymnal, number 312, Never Alone. And I invite you to stand.
Promise never to leave.
407, near the cross.
Thank you.
Number 140, Redeemed.
Thanks for that singing. That was good. So, we have half an hour to complete the three articles. And we are in this time after Easter when we do that, when we look at the catechism questions and answers and also at the articles of faith that we state and claim that it is what we believe in. And so I did a little bit of a study on the catechism. When you read the first pages there, like the introduction in it, it says, clearly states what it is made for and why it is and how it was made, that it was that it is based on Scripture and that it was to teach. And so I looked back a little bit on when was it made and who made the catechism and that. And it talks of the earliest known of the catechism which was written, the Achte, which is in the German side, when you study that, was in 60 to 85 AD after Christ's death. So a long time ago. And so then I looked a little bit deeper and more on it and looked at the word catechism, and that clarified some things to me, and people that named the catechism knew exactly what they were talking about, and it was made for that. And so it said, from what I found, it says that the word catechism which is also to the Latin and then the Greek and those early languages that they used, and more than they would have used English then, and those people that made it. And the word catechism and catechize, so to say, is to instruct, teach by word of mouth. That's what that word stands for. More so the last part of the chism, which would do that then. And then the kate, which refers to sound or resound. And so that's what we're doing today, is that's what we're doing when we read it in church and when we share it in church. First of all, we teach it through the classes. And this year here, you didn't do that because there were no candidates. But more so in the years gone by, it has happened. Also in the years gone by, where as I got taught in our school, we were taught the catechism a lot and memorized a lot of it. And so one becomes very familiar with it. And then resounding it, like speaking it or reciting it, reading it, reminds us again of what we believe. And that's what I believe is very important, that we are, as people, we need to be reminded of what we believe. And that keeps our faith strong by knowing it. I believe that it has affected my belief in God a lot, knowing lots of scripture, because there is a lot of scripture verses that you know if you are familiar with it. But for scripture reading, before I go to the articles, then I wanted to go to Hebrews chapter 11, which we call the faith chapter, and we also call these articles of faith. So it says Hebrews 11 verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we have never seen God, and we didn't see God make the world. We didn't see Jesus being born. We didn't see Jesus die on the cross. We didn't see him rise from the dead. But yet, I believe we believe it, that it is absolute true, that it all happened, and it is the way it is written in the true word of God. I believe that the Bible is the absolute truth, that it was inspired by God, and that it is what we can depend on and need to depend on. And also not just saying that, but also it has been proven already that over the years, God has preserved his word. As much as people that tried to get rid of it, they couldn't get rid of it and never will, because God says himself that it will stand into all eternity. It is very interesting to know that some countries that have tried to get rid of the Bible, they couldn't. They maybe got rid of a lot of Bibles, but it as though every Bible that they got rid of multiplied just somehow else by somebody reprinting it or remaking it and claiming it. And what also interests me lots of times is that when a fire happens many times, everything else around is burnt to nothing, and yet the Bible is there just somewhat burnt, the outside edges, but yet the Bible itself is still readable. It's just so preserved. And sometimes it's referred to that it shows that God protects his word. And it is just amazing. So we can have our faith in it. We can hope in it with the evidence of things not seen. And then it says, for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So hopefully our life will represent that too, and that even afterwards, somebody will be able to say, but he had or she had faith, and his faith continued. So let's turn to to the Catechism, then to Article 16, page 175, in most of your catechism, if you have one. And in that article, it talks of the man's freedom of will, and we do have that. We can allude to that. I am so glad we have that freedom of will. Yet sometimes it may be, we may look at it that if we didn't have that choice and God had just forced us to do the right thing, then we may be doing that more so than now. But that's not how God made it. And so we say here, we believe and confess that man possesses a free will to choose for himself as he wills. And so by knowing a lot of scripture, by knowing a lot of the Bible, we know we can have the right will. We will more so have the right will. And so so the man has given the choice to choose between good and evil, death or life. We read in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil." And in chapter 11, verse 26, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse." We read too in Jeremiah 21, 8, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." So we see in the passage stated above from Holy Scriptures that God proposed, or that God proposed for man's life or death, and that man has the capability to choose to accept that which is good or to reject it. This we also see of our first parents in paradise, who were created by God so that they could love their Creator, fear Him, and keep His commandments, or they had the freedom to leave God and to trespass these commandments, which they did according to Genesis chapter 3. By this free will that man was given and could have feared God, God will also judge the world. This righteous judgment will be given on the day of the Lord. But this free will to do good, we have not from any, no, excuse me. But this free will to do good, we have not from and by ourselves, but through God's mercy, that we can choose the good, believe the gospel, and become converted from the darkness of his marvelous light, to renounce the life of wickedness, instead be disciplined, righteous, and holy in all things, as we read in Titus 2:12. And as I saw that last night and noticed this line here, instead be disciplined, that is also a free choice. We can give God His right then, which we can never take away from Him, and allow Him to discipline us into and for righteousness through His Word and through His Spirit, and then we can have a better, we can have an easier, more free, more conscious, free life. So it said here, in all things, as we read in Titus 2:12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and world lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. For we confess we have nothing from ourselves, but through the grace of God we are made able to do something good. Therefore we must give to God alone all honor and thank Him for His bountiful and inexpressible grace for the goodness He has worked in us. Thus we conclude the article of man's freedom of will. So this is very short. Lots can be added to this. Lots of scripture could be added to this, as it probably, and not just probably, as it has happened in many messages, I would dare to say. Many messages have built on this and have been preached on this. I'm fairly sure on that has happened here in this church too. So Article 7 is about the resurrection of the dead, and that is also something we believe in by faith. We have also Bible writings that people did raise from the dead. Lazarus was one that Jesus raised from the dead. After Jesus' resurrection from the dead, others also raised from the dead and walked in Jerusalem. very interesting to read that little bit, but yet not when they died again. They are still not, they aren't with us anymore now, as far as I any of us know. And so they didn't live for always. And so, but we have the assurance, and I believe this is a very important thing to believe, that we will rise again, because then we will rise again unto a spiritual new life without problems, and where we won't even need the freedom, the choice of choosing right or wrong. We will always choose wrong, right there, because everything will be right and good there. There will be no sin in heaven for us after the resurrection of the dead. Yesterday, as I read this article, I kind of thought, man, this article is just talking about, kind of like focuses on everybody must die, and yet in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says that not all will die. And so I had overlooked that. It is stated in this article. But it focuses more on the resurrection of the dead and not on the rapture. But through Scripture, we know that too, and we believe that on that too. We believe and confess also a resurrection of the dead. As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption, 1 Corinthians 15:50. But this our flesh must first, like a kernel of wheat, and see this statement I was questioning a little bit, must first. So if we take that out of context, then we could say this article teaches that if we don't die, then we wouldn't go to heaven. And but as you will hear later, it is talking about the rapture. I'll continue reading after 15 verse 50. But this our flesh must first, like a kernel of wheat, be planted into the earth according to the scripture of this resurrection of the dead, of both the godly and ungodly, the just and the unjust. The Lord Jesus says in John 5:28 and 29. And that caught my attention as well. Early in Jesus' ministry, he already talked about the resurrection of the dead. Because there were people, the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. But interestingly, the Pharisees did, and Martha did, and the woman at the well did. And so this notion or this knowing that there is life after death, it was with people and is with people. It is with most people. I kind of wonder if people that don't believe in it, if you would be able to get to the bottom of it, why they don't believe in the resurrection of the dead or don't believe in hell and all that. Sometimes when I listen to those people, not necessarily that I talk a lot to a lot of people, but I read about some of them, and I hear some people that have been very negative and have lived very immoral lives and had very mixed feelings and mixed lives and mixed up lives and believed in all sorts of weird things. When they come to the knowledge of the truth, so to say, when Jesus helps them, or when they allow Jesus to help them like Jesus wants to, and they see the light, then they can come back, and they come back and say, it's because so-and-so abused me, or because such and such happened to me, and I blamed everything else on that because God allowed that to happen to him. So they blame God for the wrong in their life. And so that's what I believe, how this is also is, that these people that don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, there is something, God has given it to them to know it, but they have put it under something, blaming God for something that isn't God's fault. Because it isn't God's fault, because they are not reaching out to God like they could, and then see the light and know the truth. So what I also noticed, or kind of caught my attention as I studied this and thought of when Jesus is talking here to the scribes and Pharisees and the Sadducees, then it caught my attention, and or I thought of, and I knew it, but I had to look into it and study it a little bit to verify again. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees were actually both Jewish people. The Sadducees were just had a higher rank, so to say, or at least claimed a higher rank than the Pharisees. The Pharisees did more so the outside work, seemingly, than the Sadducees. The Sadducees were supposed to be those then, though, that would, like the scribes, which had the authority, or which had the, not really the authority, which had the responsibility of rewriting the Word of God or copying it over. And because it was not being able to be done like we are doing it now with a printing press, or it can be copied and then a copy, and then next time it's there when they want to reprint it, then it had to all be done by hand, word for word, dot for dot. Everything had to be done, and it was very easy to make a mistake that way, and therefore you needed special training to crisscross check stuff so that was would be correctly translated, or not translated, copied over. And so that was one of their jobs, but because of that big responsibility, they took more responsibility on them, and so they were more so responsible of the temple work, so to say, the higher work. They were authorized to do that type of work, and so they claimed themselves to know more than the more regular people, and so then they claimed that they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And to these people, Jesus said that here already in John 5:28. It says in John 5:28 and 29, "For the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Daniel 12, verse 2. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." And see there, it is about the rapture as well. "To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. With the hope of this resurrection, the devout Job comforted and consoled himself in the suffering when he says in Job 19:25, I know that my Redeemer liveth." So he says, "I believe that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth." We know, Paul says, that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. 2 Corinthians 4:14. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 14, Paul says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus God will bring with him." And he adds in conclusion, verse 18, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And so we do that. We constantly comfort ourselves and remind ourselves of that there is life after death. This isn't the end of it. There is a better life even after death. And also of Article 18 of the Last Judgment as a reward for the just and as a punishment for the unjust. We believe and confess a day of judgment, a reward for the just and a punishment for the unjust. The time and hour this day will come, no angel knows, much less a mortal man. For the Father has preserved this alone in his power. In the same way as in Noah's days, they ate, they drank, they married, and permitted themselves to be married until the day when Noah entered into the ark, so will also be the future of the Son of Man. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth it even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24:27. For the Lord shall come unexpectedly, as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth, according to Luke 21:35. And on that day judgment shall be made over all men. Of this Enoch, the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied and said, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him, according to Jude 14:15. And that's where you find that it alludes to Enoch. When you go to Genesis, you don't find that. But through the Holy Spirit, God revealed that to Jude, and he wrote that down then in that chapter. The prophet Daniel was shown this judgment in a vision, as he himself testifies in the 7th chapter, verse 9 and 10, when he says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. John also speaks of this in Revelation 20, verse 11 and 12. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and was not found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Oh, that great day he will bring... On that great day he will bring our deeds before the judgment, be they good or evil, according to Ecclesiastes 12:14. Then that which is hidden in darkness will be brought to light, and the counsel of the heart shall be made known, according to 1 Corinthians 4:5. We also read in Matthew 12:36, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God, Romans 14:12. For this judgment is a judgment for all people that have lived from the beginning. And here no excuse will help before the all-seeing God. For we know that he is God because he has been revealed to all men. There the sinner will see and discover, but too late, that he did not follow the true light, Jesus Christ. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a hunger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto thee, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And so I trust that that's what we do. I trust that's what God will say to us one day. That we do know that we, and sometimes, and probably more times than not, we do the good things because we know the Bible says that to us, but that day, I'm I'm picturing it, we will be so excited to stand before God that we will actually forget our own goodwill, and we will realize we haven't really done nothing, but God will know that we did it with the right heart, and he will, and then he will say, this is what you did with your right heart. But then with the wrong heart, it says here, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or a sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, as much as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Matthew 25:31-46. May the triune God, Father, and Holy Spirit, through grace, bring us all to everlasting kingdom. Bring us all to this everlasting kingdom. Amen. And so this is what we say we believe. This is what we teach, what God's word says about the judgment day. And there is much more also that can be added to this through scripture verses, and that's what it also says at the beginning in the introduction, that this is, in short, a teaching of what God is about, what it all is about. And so we have adopted this, we have said this is what we believe in, and I believe it is very necessary for us to think about this lots, and this can keep us from a lot of trouble. When we truly believe this, it will remind us of it, and it will motivate us to do the right thing. So may God bless the reading of the articles, may God bless the comments that have been made on it, and may God bless the church in listening to his word and trusting in his word and building on his word. These are only references, more or less, so that we have shared here now through the articles of faith or throughout the whole catechism. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, today again we thank you for blessing us and for giving us this time. We thank you that you have spelt many things. And really, we needn't say many. You have spelled everything out that man needs to know about you, about the future, about what history, about what has happened, where we come from, and where we're going, and how we will get there. And so, God, most of all, we thank you that you have provided salvation for us, that we don't have to worry about these terrible pronunciations on the unjust. If we are in you, and if we have obeyed you and listened to your word, we have trusted in the forgiveness of our sins, I believe we have given an account thereof. And you say in your word that you have drowned it in the depth of the sea, and you will never, and you don't remember them anymore. So therefore we don't have to fear that in the judgment day everything will be revealed and we will have to be sorry for it again. If we are sorry here, then it's once for all. And I just pray that we will have faith in that, and we will trust in it, and that we will live by it. I pray that we wouldn't dig things up to remind ourselves of and make it hard for us, but that we would rather just go forward in the newness of life as you have given it to us, and as you encourage us to live a new life in Jesus. And so, God, I just pray that you will preserve our faith, that you will protect us as we live through our lives, as so many things are happening. And as we can read that, as we get closer to the end of this world, and all the prophecies are coming to fulfillment, we can still trust you and know that you are with us. You have said to us that it will get easier, and Lord, by nature, we want things to be easy for us. But help us to understand that that's not what you have promised, but that you have promised that you will be with us in everything. I pray in Jesus' name, bless this church. I pray, amen. So again, we have the opportunity to kneel for prayer, and let's do that now, and let's praise him for his word. Let's praise him for the hope that he gives us and that we have, and let's pray him to lead and guide us into the future and into eternity. If you're able, would you please kneel with me and pray in the name of Jesus? May the Lord bless our prayers. Amen.
Good morning. I have a few announcements to make here. First, I'm going to read this as it has been given to me. Notice of Intendant Ordination. On March 15, 2022, a ministerial election was held in Altoona, and I, Shane Friesen, was elected to be a minister of the Summerfield Mennonite Church of Manitoba. Since the election, my wife, Kim, and I have felt the prayer support offered up for us, and we appreciate it very much. We have prayerfully considered God's call on our lives and have accepted his call, standing in faith. The ordination service is planned for June 26, 3 p.m. in Altoona, Lord willing. We understand that this new role should be entered into gravely, for the Apostle James writes about teachers of the gospel in James 3:1, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Furthermore, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:3, "Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed." Jesus says in Mark 3:25, "And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." Neither Kim nor myself want to cause anyone to stumble in their Christian faith by something that we have or have not done or said. And it is sincerely our sincere desire that the Summerfield Mennonite Church of Manitoba be made strong with us as a minister couple, not weaker. This in order that we may, thus, in order that we may present ourselves as servants to God in the way that he desires, we humble ourselves before you, the congregation, and before the ministers of the Manitoba Summerfield Mennonite Church, and we ask, if there is anything that you hold against us, would you please forgive us? We have also come before God's throne of grace seeking clean hearts, including forgiveness for any potential sins or faults that may hinder his ministry through us. That being said, if there is anything that you believe God would have you discuss with us in preparation for ordination, you may contact us at 204-304-9233. In Christ, Shane and Kim Friesen. Thank you. So we would encourage you all just to pray for them as they want to enter the ministry. And I just want to let you know that the new lists are now out there. I put them in the back there. They are for the last half of this year. And also another, I'll just give you a little update with Mrs. Martins. Like, we asked for prayer for last Sunday for when she went to see a doctor. They have now received the confirmation what is wrong. It all has started because of pulling a tooth. One time there has been made a mistake, and that is where there has some kind of growth started, and there's nothing they can do about it now. So pray for them and go and visit them, because there is no hope that she will ever be helped and healed. The doctors have no hope for her. But now at least they have shown them the films, or like the x-rays, and Romanda has seen it. They know what it is, but they know that there is no help. So pray for them and go and visit them. So may God bless you.
That would be discouraging if they say there is no help. I still believe that with God, all things, miracles can happen. And I'm reminded of Terry Unruh there, and from our area now. It's about 2 years since he had that accident, and he was in a coma for so long, and he had terrible seizures in the hospital when he was in this coma and all that. And from our view, he shouldn't remember anything, and he should be a vegetable, more or less. And he's walking. He's not 100%, but he's getting baptized this year. He shared his testimony Thursday night, and he says, I remember lots from when I was little. I remember Sunday school teachers. I remember youth leaders, and I remember that. And he just gave an amazing testimony. And so there is help available. In conclusion, I want to bless you with a benediction out of Numbers 6, verse 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Thanks for coming, and see you again. Have a good week.